Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look. Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week I have the final installment with Coach Alex from North Texas Elite Goalkeeper Training. Now, if you listen to the first two episodes, you will hear what he has to say. This is the wrap-up of it. It's the last installment. I hope you all have enjoyed these three episodes. And let's start this chat and head to the pitch. But I'm going to move over to the other things that you're doing here in North Texas, because it goes along with your philosophy of, and I'm going to start off with your U9 team. You have them playing under the Aztec name, correct?
Yes, I do. They are the people will laugh all the time. Let's go ahead and just put it already, because it's going to happen eventually. They are pre-ECNL. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do all that.
Pre-Academy.
They're pre-elite. They're pre-everything. They're pre-Supercopa. You should just add all those names to them so I can get people to just flock to me and give me their money so I can just develop them, you know. Yeah. Wink, wink. But, no, yes, I do have a rec team that I'm trying to develop to play competitively, hopefully within the next year or so, and at least try the first thing will be Plano Premier, if I can say. But right now, just to add a little bit to that team, I have half of the team is recreational that's been with me for already two seasons. And the other team is made out of players that have come from top clubs. One of them is a player that played in an all-star game at a U9 level in Arkansas. And he was chosen. And this kid comes with his parents and they travel a lot. And his name is Carter Lee. He even has his own Instagram. And if you look him up, the kid is absolutely fire. You can't slow him down. You can't stop him. And I found him on North Texas versus the World. And a couple of years back, we played at Rockwall Indoor. And that's where he really just went off. And ever since then, he's been helping me do off-season here and there. And one of Carter Lee's game is actually on the Instagram where he's dressed in all black. He's playing with the Aztec name and helping me out with the team and trying to develop them. His dad coaches him personally now. He started a little team for him, and He's not coached by his dad, so for them to just come out there every other weekend to come play with my boys that are playing in local leagues, and obviously we're not playing to win trophies or anything right now. We're just trying to get them to just, pass and move the ball and open up the field. Before then, when he first started with us, none of my kids can do something like that. Now we can move the ball, make goals, create chances. It's just development right now. And more than anything, we play rec ball out of Rowlett for the last 2 seasons, going on to the third season this spring.
And that's impressive because I think trying to build a team, how do I describe this? Having a player that comes in and helps out, I think is
Correct.
great because it builds the confidence of the other players around them. And
Correct.
the player that's helping out has to understand their role on the squad. And for to be a, if I'm, you're saying a U9, so you're talking a 2015 birth year.
Correct. 2015, U9, correct.
To have that understanding already is great to hear, and it'll be fun to see how he progresses through his life because I always call it the stage of puberty that changes everything.
Correct.
The girls get involved, whatever the boys get involved, whatever it may be, cars, personality gets involved, and
Correct.
it all changes the game.
Yes.
But there are those few players that squeak through that with unscathed from all those distractions and figuring out how to handle it. And that's awesome that you have a quote mentor for your players already at 9 and to work
Yeah.
with and
There's another player in there as well. His name is Lincoln. He's actually one of the players I posted on my profile. He's a goalkeeper that is actually a striker. He's only playing goalkeeper because he likes the position now. He started loving it, and he's actually in my advanced training for Fridays because I told him, if you're going to work hard and you think you can hang with the most advanced keepers that I have, then you're welcome to come Fridays. And he's only ever missed one practice of goalkeeper training. So for him to be able to be a strong striker, and because that's his main position, and come out of nowhere within a month to learn the goalkeeper position, that's a very talented kid. So he plays for, I think there's a team called Dutch FC. So he's part of them. And he comes out and helps me on some of these indoor games. When North Texas Aztecs began FC, I started with eight players. And I started with eight players. Four of the eight players are still with me. And the other four no longer with me. Obviously, the players didn't align with the way I was teaching things, and parents didn't like the approach of being blunt at that age, and they left. I mean, I can't stop it, but I told them from the get-go, that's the type of I want philosophy I would bring. And I told them I'm going to be developing them. So I've been a constant reminder to them that I can change, so can these players. So I took a team that didn't know how to even kick a ball to what it is now, to be able to move the ball here and there. We actually were going to be part of the Tournament of Champions this past season, but unluck, bad luck played us. We were supposed to play the last game of the season. It got rained out and we didn't have a chance. It was a game we could have easily won because the team, we had beaten them already before by a lot. And this could have been a great opportunity just to win the game and just go. But because we had one less game than the other team in our bracket for the season, then obviously the difference in points was just 1 point. All I had to do was win. And basically their season was over because they didn't have an extra game. But because they had one more point than us, they went. I don't know how they perform or whatever, but it took. I work hard for that position because I really wanted that, but it didn't happen. So now I'm going to work towards a spring season, and hopefully once the spring season's over, I can turn them into a competitive team, which is the next step that I want. But that team got built because, in all honesty, the only reason why I have the North Texas Aztecs team when I first started was because I was a couple of years out from being a head coach because of my 04s and 05s. Obviously, they're no longer playing youth soccer, which is, I was kind of depressed. I wanted to coach so bad, and I said, you know what? I'll just do it all over again. I'll do what I did with the original Aztecs, which they were called Real Madrid for many years until recently, where I changed the name. And they were together for many years with me from 2013 all the way to 2019. So I got this team around 2022 and the spring of 2022, fall of 2022. And the first season, we won one game. And I don't, and then at that age group, you don't keep track of wins, but I kept track of everything because that's how I am, you know? And we won one game and lost everything else by a large margin. We really didn't score much. So that season ended, four players fall out. One parent, I guess, says that their kid had nightmares over the way I treated her son, and they were going to sue me. It was one of the weirdest things ever. I turned it into Rowlett Soccer Association, yada, yada, yada. So eventually the kid got pulled out and whatever, and they said not to worry about it. They're just angry parents for whatever reason, even though their kid played all their games, and they didn't spend much on the bench. I guess they didn't like that I would tell him that he needs to be passing the ball and correcting him. But one of the weirdest situations I've ever been with, I didn't know. I never yelled at the kid. Me and him were best friends, you know? So that was weird. Anyways, the next season, which was the spring season, we went undefeated. We won all of our games. Even though they didn't count yet, we did not lose a single game. And it was eight games in the season, so we won six and tied two. And those two ties came to the team that destroyed us the first season. So we tied them twice. No, oh, sorry. We beat them once. We tied them once. And then the other team that would beat us badly, we beat them once and tied them once. So they didn't beat us at all. We went undefeated. And we scored a lot of goals. We were passing the ball, moving it, but that's because we did the fall season and indoor, and that's how I met Carter Lee and Lincoln. They came and helped me out. The funny part is that we started losing all first four games, 0-4. I think the first game we lost like 26-0 or 26-1. First game. Remember, they played in that big field at Rockwall Indoor. Right. Yep. We lost 26-1. The next game wasn't any better. We scored like seven goals and they scored like 23. And it went on and went on until the third game. I sent out a SOS on North Texas versus Soccer or whatever. And I had a bunch of kids come try out or come play. Out of those, Carter was one of them. And boy, can he play. He lit up. This kid can play, man. If you find his Instagram, you go see him. You can see what I'm talking about. He lit it up. And from there, after going 0-4, we ended the season 4-6. But because everybody, there was two other teams that sucked more than us, we made playoffs. And that was our first playoffs. And it was a first round exit. I ain't gonna lie to you. We got beat. But a rec team made playoffs on top of two other select teams that didn't. You know what I mean? That's wild.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to now, we're playing at the Dallas Soccer Box. We started the season 1-3. The team is 4-3 right now. And this Saturday, if we win, we go to 5-3. So it's been a wild season. We ended up playing with Wiley Soccer Association because it's combined. So the only big losses we had were to the first and second place teams, and we ended up fifth place for the season. We should have ended up in fourth. Actually, we should have ended up in third if we would have played that last game. But the stats are the stats. So this would have been a third round finish, but we finished fifth.
It's amazing how do I describe it? Like at that age.
Yeah.
It's how you as the coach reacts to the end of the game. It's not so much the win or the loss. I think Correct. That's accurate up until about the age of U13, U14.
I wasn't always like that, to be honest with you. I, growing up and doing all this, I've been an arrogant, pompous, whatever coach that there is. That's why not many have liked me. But over the years, I grew out of that phase. Now I'm an assertive coach that is blunt and straight to the point. As before, all I cared about was winning. I promise you, that's all I really care about was about winning. I only cared about the accolades. I only cared about myself not the team. When I lost my 04s, 05s to age because they aged out, that's when I said, hey, all that stuff wasn't worth it. I want to continue coaching these kids. And that's what brought on the North Texas Aztecs U21 team. Out of that right there, me not being able to, you know, me just not wanting to move on and my players not wanting to move on and say, hey, let's go to the next step, coach. Let's semi-pro. You know what I mean? But going back to the North Texas Aztecs, U9, that's the reason why I changed the way I was, because this is the new generation that I'm coaching.
And do you think, like, as a coach, I think this is the thing that parents need to realize. Coaches go through a process of evolution themselves, as players do. Like you said, when you were younger, it was
and
all
only
about the
if
accolades.
They're willing to do it, though. Only if they're willing to do it.
And I think a lot of the coaches I have ran into, we all have a personality. We all butt heads over certain topics.
Correct.
But at the end of the day, the big thing that's the big driving conversation right now that I have is at what cost do you give up development? And what is development to those coaches? And when you start looking at any big name club, it's all about the W's and the L's. And I don't care what club you're at, eventually you get to that point where that matters.
Yeah.
And but what
you
age,
can't change that in North Texas. It's always going to matter.
It'll always matter, but what age does it start mattering? And that's
personally,
the important question. And that, to me, as a parent, I really don't care for the winning season or losing season as long as there's progression.
Correct.
And
that's how my U9 started. Yeah.
I can tell you right now about my son's team. It was the first 6 months. He had two players that played together. They were all coming from different places. And let me tell you, where they started off playing to where they're playing today, I don't care what their record was for the season. It wasn't the most prettiest. And his coach even admits, says to them, I don't care if you win or lose, as long as you're growing. That's all that matters. Because right now, that's all that does matter. And when you get to the age of 14, 15 years old, the byproduct of what he's instilled in these kids at a young age will be the byproduct for that win or that draw. And when they do lose, they're going to pick themselves back up and fight even harder for that the next W. It doesn't, it's the kids that want it. It's not the coach then. And I think that's what's wrong with our Texas society is that we're losing the golden years for the 50-cent medal for Facebook, not the loss that these kids learn from.
The thing is that the problem starts actually not so much with the coach anymore. I used to think it was the coach that promotes this whole, let's go get a medal, let's go this and this and that. When you're in a for-profit program like Solar, BBB, FC Dallas, sorry, it's going to hurt some of y'all's feelings, but yeah, you got to hear this. It to them, being able to show something for the amount of money that you're charging these kids matters 100%. So I get that. No problem. It's understood. That's part of the reason why these parents are paying money for it. And you're free to do that. If you're not looking for the development, well, you say you are, but you're not going to get it. It's a super team that was built. So when that super team meets another super team at, I'm going to use this as an example because I see it a lot, at Super Copa Elite 200,000 Memorial Bobby Tournament. Mm-hmm. Okay. And those two teams destroy everybody in their path. And y'all eventually meet at the end. You know, obviously only one person can take the trophy home, right? Another team's going to be gone. That right there in itself, entering all these tournaments for silverware, I don't believe it's growing the sport. Tournaments are taking advantage of coaches and big clubs by hosting these tournaments because at the end of the day, not so much ranking as they're giving out these medals for these teams. It's the way so they can, it's a good way for them to make money and publicity. And so we're pumping up too many tournaments. There's too many of them. I think there are too many happening, and that's what's causing development to be pushed aside because when you're developing, you're not always going to win that tournament. Yeah. So they see it as a loss. They're like, oh, I just wasted $600 to get third place. That's not good enough. So if these other clubs pretend they suck, pretend, because the team is not bad, and go beat up on the little teams that are really developing, which causes that team to fall apart. And they're saying, well, they're helping them get better. No, so you what? 15 to nothing is going to get you better?
Right.
At that age, maybe as a, you know, as an adult, it's different. But at that age, I mean, I literally, if you go to North Texas Soccer and you scroll all the way through the stuff that I've always posted, there was one post that got me like majorly just on the headlines for that page, where I talked about, what do you learn from beating the team 15 to 21, 23 to 0? What did you just gain from that?
Right. Other than
why, at what point do you stop? I literally posted a score from Tigres Academy, and I hate Tigres Academy with a passion. Whoever coaches Tigres Academy, go merge with somebody or leave it, because I'm sorry, I have nothing but terrible things to say. They went, they go to Rockwell Indoor, and there was a score about 2 years ago. I wish I still have the snapshot. They beat a team 39 to nothing. And a parent still try to justify it.
When I coached, and this was our policy, once we got a 4-5 point lead, unless we lost that 5 point lead, it was five passes before you shoot on goal. And you're talking,
I get that.
Five,
but here's the thing. And sorry to interrupt. So here's the thing, though. So the thing that happened here is the next comment after that said, coach, somebody, I forget the parent, but it's still there. They go, so what? Is the kids just going to pass the ball around the whole game and not to score so that they won't hurt their feelings? And that's when I said, no, but you know what you can do? Offer to end the game. At that age, those kids are not going to understand that there's a 20-minute half.
Right.
You know what you're going to do for that kid? They're going to go, I get to go home. At that point, they just want to go home.
Yeah.
Why don't you just let them go home? You won the game, you know.
That goes back to the coach and the coach's ego, though.
Correct.
Not wanting to give up.
Correct.
Or wanting to teach the kids that they have to continue going on through that. And then, and at that age, it doesn't teach anything, especially at the age of 8 and younger. It really doesn't teach anything. I mean, because all the kid feels is the embarrassment, and they know that. And it's, then it gets even worse when they get back in the car and the parents just light them up for not doing X, Y, and Z.
That's when you get the parents that say, oh, we're just making them soft. No, not at that age. There's no softness, and 30 to nothing is pretty bad. They're gonna get clowned on, and we don't want that. Just make sure they just get the win. Just as a coach, you offer, hey, look, mercy rule. Even if they don't offer, just say, hey, I'm going to stop the play. I'm going to pull them out and say this. Some coaches say, oh, it's going to be a learning experience for them. But what are you going to do? Okay. Let's just say you are. What are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell the kid?
But this goes back to what's wrong with American society, like the U.S. society with soccer. If you go to an English academy and they have a game, they don't keep score, especially if it's an internal game. They get points on if they're actually executing what they're learning in practice, not if they put the ball in the net. So if they do a 1-2 or give and take, whatever you want to call it, successfully, they get a point for that. It's not because they put a ball in the net. It's like that's what their coach is looking at. Anyone can put the ball in the net, but can you actually play soccer? That's the real question. And I think as a parent, like this is something that I had to learn, was my son scoring 78 goals in a season. Does that mean that he's really good? Or does that mean how many assists did he have? Because anyone at 5, 6 years old playing 4v4, it's easy to get goals because all you have to do is dribble and beat the player and hope that you're faster than the kid next to you. Anyone can do that. Any kid can do that if they have the right environment to allow them to. It doesn't, it's are they executing assists? My biggest pet peeve as a parent hearing, oh, this player doesn't play well because all they want to do is shoot goals because their parent gives them $5 a goal, or they get ice cream after the game if they shoot, they score 5 goals. And if they don't get those 5 goals, there's no ice cream. Well, do they play against a really good team with a great defender, or why didn't they get the 5 goal? Did the coach put them in the back so they couldn't score? And what are you teaching your kids that the only thing that matters is how many goals they put in the goal versus like we prioritize tackles, great passes, and assists. In our mind, goals were worth the least amount of anything in our house. That's how my son earned money playing the game. That's the thing. I think that's what's wrong with our society is that everything is about that number at the end and not about what is actually being done. Like this U9 team, I guarantee you, your new U9 team will be something to reckon with in the Metroplex. And
Correct,
this is, and this goes
it's
back
all.
to
Sorry,
because if they learn the right things along the way.
yeah,
Go ahead.
correct, and I think the building blocks is what's basically I'm putting together is that even though some of these players are playing with top level clubs, I think the two players that are helping me out every season do play for top level clubs. I know as they get older, and since I formed that relationship when I go to tournaments, Carter's going to be in a different level. Lincoln's going to be a different level. I have high caliber players that can provide me with that help when I face these tough teams because those players are going to be playing already formed since they started very little. Because again, I started in the rec side, but what's going to drive my players to play a lot harder is that they've always played rec. And now that they have that talent to compete with some of these high money clubs and just so many resources to their disposal because of the cash flow. To me, to be able to come in and possibly beat them 1-0, 2-0 in a tournament play, it's going to upset a lot of parents and it's going to open their eyes and go, you know what? For us to lose to a rec team that's been together for so long and we've been a team that's been playing all these tournaments and for us to lose 1-0 against them, what did we do wrong? And I'll
Right.
tell you right away, it's that this team has they're driven. And because a lot of these clubs are only driven by just winning, the motivation is just sorry, the pressure is just too high for these kids. They're creating the pressure of a college kid to a kid that's U9. I tell my players, my kids, hey, we lost. Oh well, life goes on. In the past, I wasn't. I'm gonna tell you that real quick. I wasn't that coach. I took things to heart. But now that I'm in the position that I am with my U21 team, I'm no longer their coach. I'm still a pain in the butt to them. I'm not gonna lie to you. My U21 players are still fear me, but it's a good Jimmy Johnson fear, is what I would
It's a
say.
respect. It's not a fear. And I think
Correct.
you need to change the terminology. And I think
And
that's the difference.
that is a huge difference. So the North Texas soccer has there's a lot of issues that we all pointed out. That's wrong with it, you know? And the main, we always go back to to the number one issue, which is money. And that's never going to change. But there is one thing that has come out very good out of this whole entire conglomerate of issues that is wrong with the sport at the youth level right now. And that is the fact that the North Texas soccer versus the world as a forum, I guess, and I would say it's a conglomerate of many people in it. There's always those small situations where they all come together and agree on one thing is that we all want our kids to be able to succeed and push themselves each and every game, whether it be through the coach, the parent, or individual training, no matter what. All everybody wants people to thrive. And I share the same sentiment. I can sit here and I went ahead and ranted over other goalkeeper coaches doing this and that. I have the utmost respect for every goalkeeper coach in the area, regardless if I don't see eye to eye with you. Just to state that. But I do believe we have to do a better job when it comes to providing for the goalkeepers and the players. If they're not goalkeepers, let's move the goalkeepers over to the side. But providing as coaches the avenue for our players to be able to develop themselves. And we have to go ahead and set a standard where we can go. Do we really have to make everything about money? At what point can we make those changes and not make it about that? And I don't want to hear that, oh, well, there's discounts available, there's scholarships, we sometimes bring skills clinics and it doesn't cost a thing. And I'm like, those are little nitpicks. It's like you going to the kitchen, getting a banana and cutting me a small piece and going, here's a whole banana. That's just a piece of it. No, it's a whole banana. What do you mean? That's not what I asked. No, I gave you a banana. I gave you something. You know? Okay, I want steak. Oh, okay, here's a steak. That's just a piece of meat. Yeah, a little piece of meat. That's still steak. You said you wanted a
Right.
piece of steak. That's the things that I'm trying to stop parents and coaches from doing anymore. That needs to stop.
In order to change our soccer community, and I'm a firm
It's hard.
believer. It is
It's
hard
difficult.
and it's very difficult. And what you're doing is very rare. And but I, at the same
Correct.
time, I know human behavior to a degree,
Yeah.
and I putting this, everyone has to have skin in the game in some form.
Correct.
You have your time, that's your skin in the game, and your talent that you're teaching. But on the reverse side, having parents that are getting something for free, and I've been trying to think how to phrase this, and I don't think it's going to come out well, and I think you're doing understand what I'm trying to say.
So there's the so I'll do a quick cutoff. So there's two forms of free. Did you know that?
I want to
Okay.
hear what this is because you have me intrigued. I in my mind there's only one, so that's why you have me intrigued. So I want to hear what the other half of this is going.
So, like I was saying, there's two forms of free, right? There's
Right.
free and there's sort of free. In your opinion, based on everything we talked about, North Texas Aztecs goalkeeping and everything associated with it, which one am I providing?
I don't know. In my mind, it's there has to be something tagged to it. And my mind is what you went back to the very beginning. It is the commitment and dedication to the process. And
Correct.
that's the skin in the game that doesn't
So that's
cost the
sort of
financial
free.
side.
So that's sort of free.
Okay.
Because I'm still asking you for something. I need you to pay me in commitment and discipline. That's my payment to me. That's what I'm actually taking. All right.
Okay.
And being able to at times donate money to be able to do things that, but that still falls under the same tree. So that's the
Right.
same thing as commitment. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean,
Then there's that's sort of free, okay? Now, next one, there's free. Okay? And that's where I think where you're probably going to touch on. Free means I'm giving you everything without asking anything in return. Meaning
right.
you walk in to a food bank. You don't have anything because you don't have anything. You're hungry. They make you sign your name here and there. Here's a box full of food. No questions asked. You move on. That's free. Now, how does that translate into training? So I believe the reason why some clubs don't offer this or services or for whatever reason, whatever falls into that free category, because we have parents, which is some, not all, that come to abuse this. So it ruins it for the ones that do need it. And so cl set club, set coach, set or organization stops from providing it the way they was. So now they want you to do sort of free, meaning you pay for certain something given to you and they'll give you something without charging you, but you kind of did pay for it. And that's the reason why they tend to stay away from that free because of that. So they try to go to my side. But the difference between mine, which is free, is There is no money involved. So you're probably saying, well, that makes no sense, Alex. What are you talking about now? Well, look at it. So now there's, I didn't mention a third option, right? Guess what?
Right.
That now moves on to the middle because it involves money. It involves just money. Just I'll give you the sort of free if you pay some money. And that's the problem. We now you have, you know, that little circle thing or whatever, where the three circles come together and there's one common denominator in the middle.
Right.
That right there is where those two get together and do it. The other one stays out of it. You don't combine three because I'm not asking you for money all the time. So I don't consider myself part of that conglomerate. So I take that ring off and it leaves two rings in the middle together. Forget that what's that stupid chart called, but you know what I'm talking about.
Venn diagram.
Yeah, that diagram right there is set. So those two are together and that other one is left outside. So to finish off, how do you put these three rings together to benefit the child in the middle? But at the same time, offering a free service, but at the same time, you don't lose out for giving out that free service. How do you stop that? Right? There, you really can. So that's why I took myself out of the equation, because you know why? Because I don't charge anything for what I do. I don't ask you for money monthly. I don't ask you for money at the end of the practice or anything. All I did was I'll give you training for free, but it's not free. I'm going to ask you to commit to it, bring a ball and water. I'm going to ask you for several other things that don't cost you anything. I just need you to follow that system so you can continue to get this free service from me. When you don't, you're out.
I get that now. Now, it's... How do I describe it? It goes back to the abusers of the system. And I think that's right. The hard part. And
yes,
it is just like anything else. There are those people out there that will show up. But at the same time, you've made it very clear. If you don't do X through Z and start back at A again, you won't be welcome back. I think that's a hard concept for parents.
You know what's funny about this
and
too?
Me to understand.
If you go to my Aztecs Elite Goalkeeper Training page, I have my code of ethics literally posted when you first enter the page. Aztecs Elite Goalkeeper Training, it's on the pin. And then if you see it, if you scroll to the side, it gives you my five rules to follow to be able to continue to come to train with me every Friday or any other type of training without having to pay a single dime. And it literally goes the 5 points that I ask, and which makes the point, is it free or is it sort of free? And I fall under the sort of fall under the sort of free category. And all these other clubs also do the same, but money is involved more than anything else.
Right.
Because you already paid for something else. Them giving you the free thing is really not hurting them. And technically, that you really aren't getting it for free. You paid for it. It's just not as much as if it looks to be for whatever reason.
And I think that's the thing that parents and everyone needs to understand, that there is two different avenues of this. And I think a lot of parents are hesitant. I mean, I'm just thinking of what you've done.
And it didn't come easy because I had to fight a lot of parents on this. When I started North Texas Aztecs Goalkeeper Training Program, my arguments were with parents saying, hey, you didn't think you're being a little too hard? And I'll tell them, think about this. When you came before I came along and the training you did with the other goalkeeper, was your goalkeeper this tired? Oh, no, that's not the point. No, I get you. Just listen to me. All right. When they came, so here's another thing. This will, at the time I had this situation happen, it was already their fourth training. I said, when you first came to me, did I tell you that 3 out of 5 keepers quit by the second training? Yeah. Okay. This is the fourth training. Yeah. Okay. So the goalkeeper's coming back. Are you forcing the goalkeeper to come or they're coming? Oh, no. They're coming. He likes it. Okay. But that doesn't answer my question. Okay. Last question. Have you seen any improvement? Yeah. He looks more alert. You know, he's not as scared as he used to be, and you know, less mistakes. Okay. But coach, can you answer the question? Why do you do this? And that's when I answer him. The reason why I'm this hard on him is because before, where you took him, where you paid money to, they were in fear that you would not come back. You haven't gone back to that coach in four sessions, I bet, right? No, there you go. That's why I'm that hard on him, because I want him to value what he's learning here that doesn't cost a thing, instead of going back to where he was and not being the goalkeeper that he is now. You know what, coach? Perfect sense now. But you didn't see it that way, right? No, no. I thought you had a personal out for him. I'm like, nope, no personal out. We're best friends. It doesn't look like it, but we get along just great. At first, we did not. That was the first practice. I told you we were not going to get along the first time. Once you get used to it and understand what's being given to you, you're going to be okay. But if there's no understanding behind it, you're going to quit. You're going to want to leave.
So this may make you feel a little better.
Mm-hmm.
So when I interviewed Juan Martinez, he finally was like at the one of his players, I guess, he met the grandmother. And it was outside of soccer. And she goes, I always thought you were the biggest jerk because you're always screaming at my granddaughter and blah, blah,
Correct.
blah. And then as soon as they walked off the pitch, it is coaching. The coach brain went off and now I'm a normal person. And I think parents don't get that.
They
They don't
it's it.
see that side of the equation is that just because I'm on the pitch, when we get off that pitch, doesn't mean I'm like not come up to you, put my arm around you and say, hey man, how are you doing? Or how's your day? Or I'm very proud of everything you've done so far, but you aren't going to hear that when I'm actually out there coaching to you. It is, I think that's the side of coaching that parents don't always see, is that there's you when you are on that 75 by 110 yard pitch. And then there's once you walk off that area and into the quote civilian world, you are a calm, cool, collective person that will be making jokes, razzing them, and having a good time. And I don't think parents can separate the two. I think the athletes can at young ages and older ages. As they get older, they understand the difference. But I don't think we as parents understand that. And I think it takes time to see that. We have had coaches that coached by fear. I'm talking truly fear, and on the pitch. And they're off the pitch, they're all having a lot good time, but my son didn't want to play for that coach again. They didn't want to play in fear. They wanted to play in fun, but being critical of what they're doing right and what they're doing incorrectly on the pitch. And I think there's a difference totally. You can still be that fun loving person off the pitch, but you can still bring that same mantra to the pitch, but not, I guess, being somewhat being tough, being maybe not being the, I'm trying to think of a coach of the example, and I can't think of one because everything I think of is inappropriate to the coaching style that I'm thinking of. But it is, you can be gruff and rough on the field, but once you walk off, you can still be that kind, compassionate person that player respects. And I think that goes back to what you're saying between the U9 team that you currently have and the U21 team. And it is different. I don't know how to describe it unless you see it, if that makes sense.
And the thing with the U21 team that is one of a bit of an eye to see when you see them play is that because they've been together since they were 10, when they move the ball, the players know where to be at set time. Now, you're probably saying, what does that have to do with coaching?
Coaching's no different.
Absolutely nothing. What I'm saying is I no longer have to worry about telling them where to go with the ball. They know what to do with the ball. At this point, all I am doing is supporting them and guiding them on the field, subbing the players that need to come out, seeing things that they can't see, and that is it. I'm not here to tell the player to run faster. I'm not going to tell the player to go chase down a player. They already know what to do. My job is to be the team manager at certain times of the game. Now, when we translate, and I would say this, a lot of coaches don't see themselves as that. They're like, I'm not a team manager. That should be one of the players. You know? Until these players are about my age, then you can say different. But at this point, I am still a coach and team manager. And I don't mean in the sense of paperwork and stuff. I mean managing the field for them because their brains are not fully developed yet to see the field the way I'm seeing it. You know, players are still developing. Now, how does that translate to coaching? We were just talking the topic right now. What does it have to do with a player wanting to play for that coach or not? The problem is a lot of the coaches that are saturating the market, and I'm going to say market because if you're playing a club and you got a coach, I'm sorry, but you're paying for a product, okay? Your coach is your product, all right?
Yes.
So the saturated market is, or is part of the product. Sorry, I'll be nicer. I don't count independent coaching because they're not attached to anything. So a lot of these, the saturated market of coaches are the ones which is, who go get their license. They're grassroots, right? You know, they get the license. Hey, yeah, yada. I got an academy, club. Join the team. You know, coach by a licensed coach. Whatever. So parents flock to that. Why? Because of the title, you know? It's just like, as a teacher, you need a title. You need to be, you know, a bachelor's and to be a teacher or whatnot, right? So same thing. They see that. They try to correlate these jobs that have diplomas to what a coach does. So if he has a diploma, he definitely knows what he's doing. You get what I'm getting with this? So the market is saturated by uneducated coaches that only see the game from an eyesight perspective. They do not go and connect the rest of the pieces that make what they're seeing with their eyes. And a perfect example, when you go to the store, you go buy milk. There's three different types of milk, right?
Right.
There's 1%, 2%, and whole milk. You're saying, what does that even mean? Well, as adults, we know that 1%, 1% less fat, 2% less fat, whole milk, obviously, no fat was taken out. So that is the same way that coaches are viewed. They're like, oh, well, there's your D license, there's your C license. They see it as knowledge, when in reality, it's just a different level of license. So you're able to coach a different level of soccer in their eyes. But you can have all that and still not know the game. And I think we have too many of those, more than the ones that know the game.
I don't disagree with I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. I think just because you have a license, and I feel like a lot of these coaches that we get here in the United States are former pro athletes, so they automatically get their D license, or they get a pass on their D license testing to a degree.
Right.
Or they get to jump to have their C license right away and not have to take their D. And as a parent, I have a hard time. It's like, what is it? The English Premier League will never let a former player be a referee. An English Premier player be a referee. And they said, why? And it's like, because they see the game as an athlete, as a player and player only, and they can't distinguish that viewpoint anymore. It's that they only see the game. And I feel like a lot of coaches, if they don't start young, and I think this is very critical, and we can get in a whole conversation about this.
Yes, I started at age 17.
I think my son helping out his coach a younger team is so important for my son. And I had this dialogue with, I think it was Raymond Martinez, with Rayos. And it's like, me personally, I'm all for it. If he wants to ha help my son, go help him be the assistant coach. And all it is teaching Landon to pass the ball to the kid and how the coach needs it so the coach can help the other kids. My son is starting to learn why it's important to have a good pass. It's indirectly, but he gets to see the game from the coaching side also if it's if they start doing tactics.
The thing is, the only way you reverse this, it's the easiest way to reverse all this. It's actually pretty simple. It's following the little, I guess, I wouldn't say rule book, or let's see. Okay, I would say road. Following the road that I have, which in my opinion, if you can teach a certain one of your players the game itself, and they're able to start teaching younger players the same, then you form a tree there, you
That's a
know,
great,
with
yeah.
roots. But the problem is, it going to be a good tree or a bad tree?
Right.
And that is the hardest thing that I think there's the only solution for that is there needs to be more knowledgeable higher ups involve youth soccer. But the only way you get that is by taking the monetized side to it away.
And I think
Money is preventing, money right now is preventing the development of these coaches as well. Because when you combine yourself with another club, or you start out with a team that's wrecked, who is the first person knocking at your door? Hey, yeah, I went FC Dallas Academy. You should definitely join us. You look like you have a great group there. Perfect. You join, sign. Hey, we're so happy to have you here. We just saw that little Mikey and little Roberto. Wow, 14 goals together in this game. Hey, listen, there's a great opportunity. There's another guy that has a team with the same age. Those two could play with them and, you know, go to several games here and there. Oh, perfect. I'll send them. Yeah, great, great. Now those two players are gone. Now you
Yes.
have the intermediate players left. Here comes again. Hey, man, I see those other two are growing nicely. You know, you should invite those two as well. Well, you invite them too. Now you're left with development players, the ones that you were going to bring along with the ones that were advanced intermediate. Hey, man, unfortunately, it looks like we're probably going to combine you with this other team that we have. Guess what? The same team that they just picked players from too. And we're going to put these guys together. So you're going to get help because he's going to be your assistant now. Oh, okay. I guess. Yeah, so he has players, you have players. Wow, a team right here. I know we took a couple of players from you, but now you don't have to worry about that. Now you have a mediocre club team right now that you have to develop.
Yep.
While both coaches, another coach that was in your same predicament, just sent his best to the other one to be coached by a different coach. And now they cut both of you off because your team suck and you just lost your players.
And this is, and this goes back to, I'll
And
talk
that's
about
just FC Dallas. There's a lot of clubs that do this.
that's every
I won't
club.
tell
I
you
mean,
that.
that's every club that is player chasing versus player development. I won't give, my son was, how do I describe it? My son played on a B squad, a developmental competitive team. I'll call it the correct format because that's what it is. And was told that in January they'll bring him up to the competitive team. Well, we don't kiss the ring in our house. We don't. You want our son or you don't. It's there's nothing with us. It's all him. And if you think you're gonna get something out of us, sorry, you're paid to coach. That's it. And that wasn't well liked. And it's, and if I don't agree with what you're doing, I will question it and I'll ask questions why. But this coach would only cherry pick the best players in the area, but we never develop players.
Because the reason behind it is because it's time consuming.
It's
And these
time
coaches.
consuming, and he wanted the accolades for himself.
Correct.
It dealt
So,
nothing with the player, and I
correct.
was I find it comical now looking back. Like, we thought we were chasing a coach, but we didn't see the whole picture until we signed on the dotted line for the 6 months, and it was comical to us. I don't find it comical, but I find it interesting looking back at that experience and seeing like how naive we were as parents, because this was our first time going from a team where I was part of the coaching staff to me
Correct.
not being anything and seeing the whole picture.
Correct.
And it was kind of an eye-opening experience, and my wife saw it well before I did. And I think this is where we have to, as parents, understand that sometimes the coach, it's like coach says one thing, and that's where it goes back to that lovely quote that
Yeah.
Jeff gave me. Coaches are the best well-intended liars out there. And I think some coaches are that way, and I think some coaches are gut-wrenching honest, and I don't think people have thick enough skin to handle that. And to me, like, yeah, we could dance around this all night long and have this conversation.
To make it easier on you. So, yes, it's the biggest pet peeve that I have with clubs. Now, the reason why a lot of these coaches, to be honest, the independent coaches are actually, in my opinion, that I've seen, knowledgeable of the game. Why? Because they're just the same way that they think the same way that I think, which is I'm better off on my own. I have a philosophy. Nobody agrees with it. I'm just going to do it. Okay. There has been talk a while back, and I talked to a parent, and me and him are friends. And he says, what if all those independent clubs joined and made what you would say, what places have union? What if they unionized? And I said, okay, I kind of get the idea you're telling me. What if we unionize soccer in Texas to a certain point, whereas and they tell them, well, now you'll get into a power struggle. Yeah, but what if it was a union of coaches, independent coaches? No FC Dallas, no BBB, no agendas or anything. I said the only way that works is you find knowledgeable, like-minded coaches that want the same thing. And that's kind of hard to do whenever BBB FC Dallas are over here going, hey, listen, I know you need the money. Bring your team in, charge this in this app. Tell me which players play well. Let me bring him to my side. I have a FC Dallas red Charlie. He's needing this player just for a short while. And if this team still doesn't improve on because I took these players, you can find replacement. We'll add you to a staff. You can coach them there. And that's what they do.
Yes. And
And
it's a
parents
card
turn a
shuffle
blind eye
game.
because why? They know they turn a blind eye because, like, oh, he's getting all these perks. So those players, you know where they end up? On the player market pool for other smaller clubs to fight about. And the cycle starts all over again because those players don't suck. They just haven't been developed. Let's just then you develop them, and what happens again? Hey, man, last year, dang, we didn't choose you, did we? You look so much better now. What you do? Well, we
Look at my
got an
coach.
opportunity for you. Yeah, you signed this contract. We got an opportunity for, you just kicked the kid out last year. Why would he will come back to play for you? You gave up on him. You didn't develop him. Not you want them. And that's North Texas in a nutshell.
There's a really good quote. I'm trying to find it. Pretty much, the coaches only want a ripe banana, and that's all they want. If a player is over, if the banana is too ripe, they'll toss him. If it's too green, they don't want it yet. But all these bananas are, at the end of the day, have the same value. It's just a matter of where they're at in their development. And I can't find the quote, and Jeff gave it to me, and it's a fascinating analogy, is that coaches only want the perfectly yellow banana. So, but before I take up too much of your time, since we've been going on quite a while now,
No, it's good, man. I
I
enjoyed
don't
it.
mind it. I have too, and
It was pretty good.
I have my favorite question, parents, whoever,
What's
but
up?
who has been your greatest influence as a player? And who has been your greatest influence as a coach?
As a player, I think my greatest influence has been, man, it's a tough one.
It can be
This is going
multiple
to
people off
sound
an overall.
very selfish, but I'm going to say me. As a player, me, my greatest influence, because when I totally broke down, it will be me, because I broke down personally. When I totally did well, it was because I was able to do well. I never really had a coach that I could say will be behind me or push me. It's just, and my parents didn't go to my games. I actually would have to take the dart bus to go to the game sometimes because they were working, both of them. So I would go to rec games and take the dart bus to rec games. So my greatest influence has been myself, because I know for a fact if I hadn't put myself in the position that a lot of these players and goalkeepers, if I hadn't put myself in the position that they are currently facing, which is not having a coach to be able to coach certain aspects of their game, then I wouldn't be here at all. I wouldn't be doing this at all, because I wouldn't have known how to fix these players' flaws. Because there's so many things that goes into the game nowadays that if you can't change it or find someone to change it, then it's going to continue to go wrong. So my greatest influence has been myself, because I know if I break down, it's because of me, and if I do well, it's because of me. And I had to continue to keep improving myself to be able to change others to better themselves, because you are your own best friend at times. And I think this is all comes full circle when you're able to do things like this. So, and as far as from the pro perspective, Mourinho, bar none. One of the biggest influences as a head coach has been Mourinho. I love what he teaches, and the way he reads the game is blunt and just straight to the point, and no filter for the players that he coaches. Either he's going to love you or not like you, and if he doesn't, he's going to tell you how to fix it. And we need more coaches like Mourinho to motivate our players, because the man won it all with the teams that he's coached in his almost 25-year career. And he did it all through self-perseverance. So Mourinho and me, myself as a coach, to drive me forward is basically something that I feel really strongly about. And I'm happy that those things are the driving force behind my coaching.
Hey everyone, I hope you all have enjoyed this last episode of Chat by the Pitch. Sitting down with Alex, I learned quite a bit from him in our conversation about the beautiful game and kind of the negative side of it and why it motivated him to do what he's doing today. And that's his motivation to do it. And as you listen to what he said and try to understand his viewpoint, which I think is easy to do, he doesn't hold back, and he is known to be confrontational, even on social media. But what he's trying to do is something that is against the standard mold that we have in the pay-to-play model here in the United States. What he's doing with his semi-professional team is pretty impressive. So if you have time, go check that out. But as you are
pondering what he has to say and things that have motivated him and things that have pushed him. Look inside of yourself and see what motivates you and pushes you as a parent to be a better parent to your player. If you're a player, what motivates you to go to the next level? That being said, you have to want this more than anyone else and to play this beautiful game more than anyone else as a player. As a parent, we can only stand there and help them understand this next chapter of their lives.
Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.